because it's what we know best, and it's what covers the pain that's maybe come from rejection or jealousy. And so we medicate, we drink, we smoke, we snort, we watch things that probably we shouldn't be watching, and we develop habits. You know, you get really good at things you practice, and they become addictions, and your body gets used to it. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions get used to these things, feeding your flesh, feeding your soul. But you know, when you lay down in bed at night, you know that thing that's in your life is not right. You know it's not godly. But I'm just wondering, do you really want to get rid of it? And if so, would you be willing to want to surrender that to Christ and ask Him to help you break free from that addiction, whatever it is? And some of us have more than one. So today I want this to be a challenging message. I don't really want it to be a feel-good message, because when we're addicted, typically it doesn't feel good. But what feels good is when you can break free from it and say that, you know what, that no longer has a strong hold on my life. And that's my goal. I want to share a few thoughts about how you can break free. And then at the end of today's service, I want to pray for anyone that wants to break free from addiction. And let me give you this disclaimer. The enemy does not want you to get free. At the end of the service, when it comes time to go vertical and ask God to help you, you're going to hear one of two voices. You're going to hear a voice that says, oh, don't let people know you have an addiction. That's not God's voice. God's voice says, you know you have an addiction, and I'm here to set you free. What's more important, your freedom or what people are going to think? And you're going to have to make a choice as to what voice you follow. I pray that if you follow God's voice, you can be free, and if you don't, you'll stay in bondage. But that's my goal today. I love you enough. God loves you enough. He wants to help you get free. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that sets us free. I pray that today people will get free from whatever addictions they suffer with, and that they would know this freedom came because of your love for them and the power of prayer, the power of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit, that you who are in us is greater than he who roams about trying to keep us addicted and destroy our life. And today we're going to declare victory in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. A few weeks ago, I shared from this passage about Cain and Abel. And if you remember that Cain was jealous of his brother Abel and was thinking about killing him, but right before he did, God spoke something to him. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But I want you to think about if you've been addicted before, or maybe you're addicted right now, or we could become addicted. We're not addicted now, but we could become addicted in the future. I want you to think about what that addiction is for you. It has a name, right? And one of the keys to getting free from addiction is confession, being honest about it, owning it. Say, yes, I'm addicted. Genuine confession leads to genuine change. That's where it starts. You have to know that you know that your addiction is not godly, that it is sin, and you can get free from it if that's your purpose. There's all kinds of addictions. There's this caffeine addiction. I'm hoping none of us are as bad as whoever that character was that Will Ferrell was playing. But we have other addictions that can seem that strong, right? I know I used to be addicted to drugs and alcohol, and it was like, man, I just need a drink. I just need one more, you know, whatever. And my day rotated around feeding that habit. And if you've been addicted, you know what I'm talking about. I'm up here preaching because I've been addicted and God set me free. And I choose freedom over addiction. Amen? And so this is not a hush-hush thing in the church. This ought to be something we all talk about because it's real. And the enemy would want us to keep it quiet, but today, you know, we're going to go vocal with it. And we're going to give people an opportunity to deal with it. There's all kinds of addictions. There's you know, anger addictions, right? There's pornography. The latest statistics are one every three men. And I think that's generous. I think probably most men struggle with sexual lust. And the way we meet that need is called pornography. We look at women. We look at, you know, maybe women do too. I guess I've heard women can be addicted to it as well. But it has a grip on us. And, you know, we have marriage counseling for couples who one of them is caught in that trap, and it's not healthy. It might be fun for the moment, but long term, it ruins things. And that's true with most addictions. There's eating addictions. There's, you know, we can watch too much TV. It could be that kind of addiction. I happen to struggle with both of those. I love TV dinners. But the thing we need to realize is that our culture feeds our addictions, right? Our culture says things like, buy this or try this, or you've just got to have this. You know, everyone is doing this. And so it's hard sometimes to go against the grain and not do what culture is doing. And we can have all kinds of addictions with clothing and, you know, technology and jewelry and cars, and it gets down to more of the personal things like smoking and drinking, and overworking can be an addiction. Or we can be so consumed with our looks that we go down weird paths to, you know, we inject things in our body to make our looks better, right? We can be addicted to working out. We can be addicted to plastic surgery. We can be addicted to all kinds of things, right? And these addictions hold us hostage. But I want you to listen to what God says about this in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. And this is something this is God's advice to Cain right before he kills his brother. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, God says this: if you do what is right, if you do what is right, most of you know what's right. The key word is, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? In other words, the assumption is, yes, if you'll do what is right, you will be accepted. In other words, God's saying you have a choice. You can do what's right or you can do what's wrong. He goes on, but if you do not do what is right, in other words, if you do what's wrong, the Bible calls that sin. He says sin is crouching at your door. And the word crouching in the Greek is the word ravats, which means to crouch down on all fours. So I want you to get a picture when you are struggling with that addiction and you're needing a fix and you're, I just need to go have a drink, or I just need to go buy more cigarettes, or I just need to, you know, score some dope or whatever it is. I need to go get on the computer and, you know, feast my eyes on things I shouldn't be looking at. I want you to get a picture of this enemy, this demonic-looking enemy, crouched down on all fours, waiting just to lunge at you and attack you and once again get you to say yes to those things that you should be saying no to. The enemy knows your weakness. He knows how to tempt you. He knows how to put that shiny lure right in front of you so that you'll have one more drink, just one more. I just got to have one more, and then I'll quit. Just one more. One more look. One more text message or one more click on the computer. And it's that one more that opens the door to addiction. And so I want to challenge y'all today, if you're struggling this or know someone that's struggling this, you gotta reach that point where you say, I'm not going to say one more anymore. You know, I talk to guys that struggle with things that I've struggled with before. And I said, well, let me ask you, you know, when you go to buy that next drink, you have to drive up somewhere. And what's going through your mind? And most of them will say, what's going through my mind is I shouldn't get out of my car and go in there and buy it. Okay, so why don't you obey that voice? And then they say, I can't. I said, no. You don't want to. You can. I think the real issue is you don't want to. Because you're afraid of what might happen if you can get free. And then how do you deal with your problems when you don't have something to medicate? Right? You don't have to buy that pack of cigarettes. You don't have to score that dope. You don't have to go to that website. In fact, I get things that pop up on my phone and my computer all the time. And I just know that if I click on it, it's going to take me down a bad path. Now, I've had enough experience where I don't have that temptation as great, you know. But it's still there. It's still there. I still have to choose, nope, 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 nope. I still have to. And I think every time I say, nope, 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 God's going, that a boy, Bob, that a boy, Bob, that a boy. But I mean, pastors aren't immune from this. In fact, the latest statistic is 50% of all pastors are addicted to pornography. 50%. You know why? Because they're human. They have the same desires that you have. They have the same kind of flesh, right? They have to struggle. They have the same struggles, and they have to exert the same amount of effort to overcome their temptations as you do. And we follow the same guideline, the same book of truth, to help us. Amen? It goes on to say that God, it's God's desire. God says it desires this sin, this addiction, this temptation, desires to have you, but, here's a big but, what does it say? God, you're just going to have to take it away from me. Is that what it says? What does it say? You, me, have to what? Rule over it. Whose responsibility is it to get free from addictions? Yours, mine. You have to rule over it. And God wouldn't say you have to rule over it if it was impossible to rule over it. It is possible. The question is, do you want to or not? Do you want to hang on to it? Because some of you think it's fun. I feel good. When I'm sober, I don't feel good. I feel inadequate. I feel insecure. I like to have a few drinks. It is possible to rule over this addiction if you so choose to take authority, to not give in or invite it into your life. And some of you are thinking, I've tried that. It just doesn't work. That's a lie. Quit saying that. It does work if you'll do it God's way. It does work. You can, if you really want to, you can get free, if you really want to get free. There's hope for anyone who wants to believe God over the lies of the enemy. In fact, if you look at the word believe, what are the middle three letters? Lie. Don't believe the lie that you can't overcome it without professional help. You can. I did. I went to this crusade to get my mother-in-law off my back, and that night I gave my heart to Jesus, and I left that night with no desires to do anything else. I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit going to the topless bars, I quit doing all of that stuff that I was used to doing one night. One night. With the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. He took all those desires away from me. I didn't go to a counselor, I didn't pay a lot of money, I didn't do 12 steps, I did one big step. His name was Jesus. And I'm telling you, it is possible for anyone, if you desire, to get free and do it His way. Can everybody say amen? Amen. You didn't say amen like you want to get free. And so God wants you to believe that you can overcome, you can break free. If you do it His way, if you do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you'll believe, just start telling yourself, I can get free from this. I can get free from this. And then say this, I will get free from this. I'm going to get free. I'm not going to buy another drink. I'm not going to go on that computer anymore and look at those websites. I'm going to put safeguards in place. I'm going to quit hanging out with my friends that do those things. Not because I don't like them, I can't handle any more of that stuff that we've been doing together. I had to break off old friendships. I had to develop new friendships. but it is possible. So I want to give you a few thoughts. How to break free from your addictions. These are things that we talk a lot about in our John 10:10 ministry. We have a John 10:10 ministry coming up to help people break free from addictions. I would highly encourage you that if you're addicted and you know you're addicted, and it's like drinking, drugs, porn, and you know, and you're ready to get free, I would say sign up for John 10:10. We have a lot of people. In fact, just by show of hands, who has been through John 10:10 and you got set free from something in your life that had a, come on, get them up high. You got, look, just look around. You got free from something that had a stronghold on your life. Yeah. Now, you don't have to wait for John 10:10. You can break free today if you'll do what I'm getting ready to tell you. You ready? You going to take some notes? Take some notes like you want to get free. So here's number one, turn to God. Turn to God. It starts by turning to God. If you could have quit on your own, you'd already probably be quit. That wasn't good grammar, but you know what I'm saying. You got to turn to God. You need God's help. You need God's power to help you do this. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, Paul's been talking about how to live for Christ with, you know, sin in our life, and now in Christ we're dead to our sin. When you have Christ in your life, when you've been truly born again, he says that you have enough to say no to sin, that sin does not have to keep you in bondage anymore, that you no longer have to be a slave to sin, even though the enemy tells you differently. The truth is, I can be free from any of this and all of this if I choose. He says, therefore, in other words, if you don't want this sin to control you, do not let sin, watch it, whose responsibility is it? Yours. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Listen, sin's crouching at the door. Sin desires to have you, but you must what? Rule over it. Therefore, to rule over it, do not let sin in. Do not let it reign or have control over your mortal body, because if you do, you will obey its evil desires. That's how you become addicted. You keep saying yes to the addiction. You keep saying yes to those things. You keep saying yes to the enemy, in a sense. You need to start telling the enemy, no, no more. Not going to do it. And you turn to God. God help. God help. That this word reign is the word basileo. It means to be king over, to exercise kingly power over. Here's what Paul's saying. Do not let sin be the king in your life. Quit letting your addiction call all the shots in your life. Quit letting your whatever it is control your schedule and your finances and your daily living. Some of you live around, you know, come on, 5 o'clock, it's happy hour somewhere. And we go to happy hour because without it, we're not happy. There's a problem there. If you go to happy hour to get happy, there is a problem. The only happy hour, the only true happy hour is Sunday morning at 9 a.m. If you're free, and you come and worship God, and he fills you with joy and happiness, you don't need happy hour of the world to make you happy. Well, I'm not addicted. I just enjoy drinking. Okay, quit it for 30 days. I'll challenge you. If you're not addicted, quit doing it for 30 days. Well, I don't want to. No, you can't. That's how you know you're addicted, if you can't go without something for 30 days. I know I'm not addicted to sex because I go more than 30 days without it. Oh, this is on Facebook, isn't it? Uh-oh. Can we edit that? That's why I don't like airing these on Facebook. Lord, help me get back on track. No, really. Really, if you're not addicted, go 30 days without it. Or the rule of one. The rule of one. Just have one. If you just have one beer. It's when you have that second beer. It's when you have that second margarita. It's when you have that second whatever that probably is an indicator, probably a problem here. And you know why you want the second one. We all want the buzz. Well, we like the buzz. the buzz kind of takes the edge off things. But can we agree that when you enter into buzz, that's some form of drunkenness, right? And then once you get to number two, guess what? Your mind has now switched into a mode that doesn't know when to quit. And so the rule of one is a good rule. Maybe the rule of nothing is probably best for some of you. I know I shared the rule of one years ago with my church, you know, and here's the feedback. I do. I just had one. I had one beer. Then I had one margarita. Then I had... That's our flesh. That's the leaning of our flesh. And so I'm just saying, let's own it. Let's call it what it is. Let's turn to God. Keep reading verse 13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Turn to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Don't quit for your spouse. Don't quit for your pastor. Quit for the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross. He died and bled out on a cross to pay the sin of your addiction. And when you enter into that addiction and you participate and celebrate it, what is that telling Jesus? For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace. Who's tired of your addiction being the master over your life? And dictating your feelings and dictating your schedule and, yeah. So who or what is your master? What is that? What do you bow down to? Who do you bow down to? Or what do you bow down to on a daily basis? Is it drinking? Is it sexual lust? Is it somebody? Is it someone's body? What is it? And identify that. This is my master right now, but I'm not going to allow it to stay my master. Whatever it is, start by turning to God. Confess it to God. That's the starting place. You got to go vertical with it. Acts 3:19 says, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent and turn to God. Here's what we do sometimes. We confess, Lord, I have this problem. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But then we go right back and do it again the next day. That's confession, but that's not repentance. Repentance means change your mind about that thing so that you can stop it. Remember, Jesus looked at the adulterous woman. He said, I don't condemn you, but what? Go and sin no more. Quit doing what you're doing. Repentance means I'm going to quit drinking. Repentance means I'm going to quit looking at porn. I'm going to quit doing these things that I'm addicted to. I'm going to say no. And I've played it. Sometimes you have to play mental games to override your flesh. I had a man say, I've tried, I just can't. I said, well, let me ask you this. If I were to take a gun and hold it to your kid's head and tell you if you didn't quit, I was going to blow your kid's head off, do you think you could find it somewhere in your selfishness to quit it? Oh, yeah. Then that tells me you can do it. So play whatever mind game you have to play to convince yourself that I can quit if I really want to quit. And if you don't, then own that. Just say, yeah, I'm addicted. I don't want to stop. Hey, I'll have a lot of respect for you. At least you're honest. But quit saying I can't. Especially if you're a born-again Christian. If you say I can't do something, that's an insult to Jesus. Because He's giving you the ability and the grace to quit whatever it is you want to quit. Here's number two. Share the final 10. Some of us are really good at coming a little bit clean, but we don't come all the way clean. Right? When I meet with people. So tell me what's going on in your life. Well, and they'll tell me a few problems. And I'll say, is that all? Well, that's just human nature, right? We'll own 90% to let them know that, you know, I'm not a fool, that I'm not, you know, a total liar. But somehow, this final 10%, I'm not sure I want them to know that I've got a porn addiction. I'm not sure I want him to know or her to know that I'm fooling around on my wife or my husband. I mean, that's deal breaker stuff. I'm okay to say, you know, I could be a better provider. I could do better with my anger problem. But it's this final 10% that if we don't come totally clean, totally clear with, the enemy keeps a foot in the door to rule and reign over your life. And so I've called this sharing the final 10. Sharing the final 10. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Notice he doesn't just say confess it to God. He says confess it to one another. Now, why is that? Because God knows that human accountability is important to break it. You got to find somebody that you trust. Find somebody that can identify where you are. And I feel like I'm a really safe person. I've told you all my sins. I'm a safe person for you to come and say, hey, I'm addicted to porn. I'm a safe person for you. And I might go, really? Are you saved? I wouldn't do that. Because I know that Christians, just like non-Christians, can be addicted to anything. And we've helped Christians get free of their addictions. But find somebody. If it's not me, find a life group leader or find a leader in our church or maybe it's a family member. I don't know. Find somebody that you can say, hey, I need to have a 10% with you. And it's sharing that final 10% of what is really plaguing you. Amen? Three critical factors in sharing the final 10, accountability. You got to find somebody that's going to hold you accountable. And you give them permission. I want you to hold me accountable. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop doing this. And at any time, you can ask me, how are you doing on that? And I promise I'm not going to lie. That's important. Number two, acceptance. You need to find somebody that won't beat you up for it. You know, that's one of the things that I want to be the culture of our church is when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I have this issue. You say, what is it? No condemnation. What is it? How can I pray for you? And you know, we're not going to think ill of them. In fact, that's the reason a lot of people don't come out with their problems is how people might perceive them. And we have to let them know right up front, I don't judge you. I've got a basket full of problems. I've had problems. I'm not going to judge you for it, but man, I sure want to pray for you and help you get free from it. Acceptance and then confidentiality, that's a must. That's a must. If you break confidence, guess what? You've lost the right to help somebody with what I'm talking about. If somebody comes to you and confides in you this, it's nobody else's business but theirs and yours. You don't go tell other people, hey, I helped Bill get free of pornography this week. Praise the Lord. No, that's nobody's business. Now, you can say, I helped a man get free, but don't mention his name. Confidentiality is very, very important. And when that's lost, nobody's going to want to ask your help. And a lot of times they don't even want to come to church and do it because in the past, a church broke their confidence. And James 5:16 says you got to do it this way because what? So that you may be what? Healed. So that you can be set free from stuff that has control over you. The question is, do you really want to be healed? If so, you'll turn to God. You'll completely confess everything, even the final 10%. And then here's number three, fight for freedom. You got to fight for freedom. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Spiritually, you're in a battle. When you're dealing with an addiction, you're in a battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. And God wants to set you free. Satan wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to keep you down so he can ruin your life. And he'll attack you through your relationships, through your finances, your health, your habits, your addictions, your mind, will, and emotions. He'll try to isolate you and pull you out of good Christian fellowship so that he can have his way with you. He's going to work his plan with you, but God also has a plan. And God's plan is to help you get free. But if you're going to get free God's way, you got to know how to fight, and you got to fight with the the right weapons. And here are three weapons. I want you to write these down real quick. Obedience, but I'm going to call it irrational obedience. Who knows that God does things irrationally? We serve an irrational God. His ways are different than ours. Sometimes we might say they're weird. They don't make sense. They can be controversial, right? He sent his only son to this earth to die for us. He sent his only son to die for us. He sent his perfect son to die for us imperfect sinners. That's irrational. He told Abraham to kill his son Isaac. And he came up with a knife, and on his way down, he said, okay, stop. That's irrational. But that's God. Jesus told Peter to walk on water. We know he's going to sink. That was irrational. He told the disciples to feed 5,000 people with two fish sandwiches. Can we just agree that God's irrational? And so he's going to call on you to exercise irrational obedience that doesn't make sense to fight this fight. Get rid of my TV. Get rid of my computer. Put blocks on my computer. Cut up my credit cards. You hearing me? Give God 10% of my income. Love my enemies. Break off the relationship just because they don't believe in God. Stop overspending. Stop overeating. And the reason we don't do a lot of those things is because in our own mind they're irrational. But that's the key. When we do them, things change for the better. When we do things God's way, even though they're irrational, things change for the better. So that's number one, irrational obedience. Number two, confidence in God's word. We have to rely that God's word is the truth that we live by, and the truth will set us free. And it's the application of God's word. So we're going to read God's word or hear God's word. We're going to believe that it's true, and then we're going to obey. Application makes all the difference in the world. James said, don't just be a hearer only, but be a what? A doer of what you hear. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Do you believe that? God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So when you're getting that urge to splurge, when you're getting that desire to have another drink or have another smoke or go look at the porn, whatever it is, what do you have as a mechanism for you not to follow up on it? Just know that God has a way for you to get out of that situation if you'll turn to him. For me, I just start saying the name of Jesus. When I'm tempted with things, I just start saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. I don't know anybody in their right mind that will say, Jesus, help me, and follow through with that sin. Jesus, help me. Or like Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run. When you you're headed to the store to go buy that thing, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. He says, turn that car around. Okay. Do an about face from sin, go the other direction. Are you following me? Are these things possible? It's whose voice you're going to listen to. You're going to listen to the voice of that urge and follow through with it and just say, well, I can't quit. I've tried, so I might as well just. No, you can. That's a lie. Or are you going to listen to God's voice? I can turn this car around. I can phone a friend. Hey, pray for me. I'm having an urge right now to do something that I know I shouldn't do. All right, brother, let's pray. Are we getting this? If you don't do it this way, it's going to be really hard for you to break free. And then the third thing is prayer. Prayer. I'm going to call it militant prayer because we're in warfare. Militant prayer. Prayer, like God's word, is a powerful weapon. Use it like a powerful weapon. I think the reason people don't pray as much is they don't believe it really works. You know, it's amazing how many people will send in a prayer request, but so few show up to pray. We get 10 or 12 prayer requests every week, but those people never show up on prayer night to pray. I can't figure that out. I know it's not the love of God to do this, but I've thought about, hey, if you want us to pray, show up and we'll pray. If it's not enough, if it's not important enough for you to show up and pray, why should we pray? We pray anyway because that's the love of God. When we pray, we open the door for God to come into our problem and the situations and work on them. Going back to James 5:16, he says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. And then he finishes it with this: the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That's what our John 10:10 ministry is based on. It's the word of God and the power of prayer. And the people that got free at John 10:10, all we had to do was go to God's word and show them the truth, and then go to prayer and get them to confess and change their thinking, renewing of the mind, confess the lie they believe, confess the truth that God wants them to believe, and somehow, some way, God sets them free where they walk out, they no longer have the desires they had when they come in. It's a supernatural thing, but it's going to God. It's being open and honest and believing that he can set me free if I really want to be free. Can you say amen? Would you bow your heads? There's some of you here that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're addicted to something. And hopefully you've heard God say, if you'll turn to me and be completely honest about it and fight for your freedom, I will set you free. So I'd like to have a few prayer partners come forward. Come on, prayer partners. I need more prayer partners. Maybe there's some here that says, I don't really think I have a problem. Well, accept the 30-day challenge and then get back with me. And if you are addicted, God wants you to get free. He will help you get free. But you've got to do your part. You've got to rule over that sinful temptation. You've got to rule over your flesh. You've got to say, flesh, you can't have that. You got to say no to sin. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have something else. Maybe it's not an addiction. Maybe it's you need healing. Or maybe you're at a crossroads and you're not sure which way to go and you need God's direction to take you into the future. Whatever it is, I want to open up the altar. Tammy, why don't you come right here in front? I'm going to open up the altar. We only have 5 minutes, so here's the deal. Don't sit and overthink it. As soon as I say, would you come for prayer, shoot up out of your seat, come down here and pick somebody to pray with and just come forward and say, hey, I need you to pray for, and just tell them what it is. And then they're going to pray for you. Don't make it hard. Don't talk yourself out of it. In fact, some of you are going to come right now while I'm talking. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. In fact, I want to applaud you for being honest and open and being real. That's the kind of church we want. We want a real church. We want a church full of real people saying, I'm messed up and I need God's help. He came for the sick, not for the well. So come. Would you come? Father, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you draw people to come for prayer? Whatever it is, whether it's an addiction or some other need, would they come for prayer this morning and go vertical with you and believe that you can answer their prayer and deliver them if that's what they need? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.